You know how many actors come in here and say, oh, I just got this last night, or I got it 2 days ago. And you know what I say? So is the person that's going to fucking book it.
I'm Lee Foster. You're listening to Action, the no bullshit podcast dedicated to the pursuit of acting excellence. Enjoy this episode.
All right, Jonathan Stanley, thanks for being on the podcast, man.
Lee, thanks for having me, my man. I'm glad we get to catch up and do this.
So explain to my listeners who you are and what you do.
So I'm an actor filmmaker from Detroit, Michigan. You know, we're neighbors. I know you're in Chicago. I've been in LA, going on 6 years now. And I started off in Detroit, studied theater, been acting for 12 years now. So I started studying theater in Michigan, and we had an awesome film incentive in Michigan. So I worked on a couple little projects there, and then it got yanked. So after theater, I was like, man, I gotta get out to LA. And so I came out here, almost 6 years ago for pilot season, right? Like most actors do. I'm going for pilot season. My buddy calls me. He's like, I'm going to LA for pilot season, man. Let's go. I was like, all right. I didn't know what I know now about pilot season, and we can get into that. So we come out here. We're getting some auditions for some stuff shooting in Michigan and in the Southeast and Midwest. And this is like when self-tapes are kind of just taking off. So me and my buddy are shooting them on our cell phones and iPad, and court, you know, nothing came from it. As a filmmaker, I'd already done a feature. I wrote, produced, starred in a feature in Michigan, and based on my true life story, we went to film festivals, did that, made the festival circuit, all that good stuff. And I had some film equipment, and this ties into the self-tape. So we got a few more self-tape auditions. I was like, I think there's going to be a need for self-taping. So I scratched my own itch. I found this nice little, actually it wasn't that nice, this little spot in Van Nuys. That's where I started off, this real small room. And there was only one other self-tape studio. And this is actually in like Master P, the rapper. He was upstairs, and all his boys, they're always hanging out, and you know, they got the music bumping, and I'm shooting self-tapes in this little corner office. And it was slow, man, slow moving for like the first year I was there. It was rough. I relocated, found another spot. I was there for 6 months, lease ran out. Then I moved to where I'm at now in Studio City. I'm in a great location. So it took about a good 2.5 years before the self-tape thing caught on. It wasn't like it is now. And then I started getting some celebrities coming in, and that's when our name took off. Now we're pretty much the premier go-to self-tape studio for working actors, and we're in a prime spot of a, you know, Studio City. So there's a lot of celebrities around here, and our quality, you know, I mean, I take pride in our quality. I take it serious. I shoot everything just like I would cinematically. If it's a TV show, we light it like a TV show. If it's dark, we light it dark. If it's comedy, we light it for comedy. So having that filmmaking background and being an actor myself, I really pump it out to where it's top notch. And that's the thing, as an actor, you have to control what little piece that they give you, right? We're not given much as far as what we can control with self-tapes, man, just the quality. And if you don't go to me, it's fine. I'm not pitching my thing here, but wherever you go and whatever you can control with the self-tapes and what you bring to it, it's gotta be top notch, man. It's gotta be top notch.
Why is that?
Here's the thing. The competition is stiff, right? The acting has always been oversaturated. LA is oversaturated with actors. And when they give you this one little piece that you can control, right? You can't control how tall you are, how young you are. We know all that. You have these actors that are in a position that are with CAA and William Morris. I get most of them in here. They're coming in. They're prepared. They're off book. they're shooting. I got one actor that wants me to shoot some of his stuff handheld. That's the luxury that we have of doing that, because when they watch that in New York, from what I hear, they have more of an imagination as far as casting directors, right? They can look at you and be like, look, I don't need to see you in a cop outfit. I get it. You can be a cop. In LA, man, things are different. They really are. And I'm speaking from experience. And this isn't a slight at LA casting directors, right? They watch, if they see Lee come in for a cop, you got to look like a cop, man, right? I'll hear people say, don't wear the shirt, don't wear the outfit, don't worry about shaving. I've heard people say that. I've played a lot of cops. I book a lot of cop roles. I wear the shirt. I shave. The imagination might not be there as much. When they watch that self-tape, look, we all read Michael Shurtleff's audition. Hold the sides, right? It's not a performance. They just, man, bullshit. I'm telling you, anything, now I'm not saying like get handcuffs and a fake gun and all that, but they want to watch that, especially for look, co-stars and small guest stars. I get actors in here that are directing TV shows as well. And they'll tell me, when I cast this, I was sitting in Video Village watching a self-tape on a cell phone, right? Eating a sandwich. They want to see a performance, right? If Lee's playing a cop on Blue Bloods and it's a co-star, a guest star, they just want to grab you from the trailer, man. You say your shit and you go home, right? Why not do all the work for them? So when they see Lee's self-tape as the cop, boom, it's lit. Awesome. We can hear you. You got the shirt. You're clean shaven. If the cop's clean shaven, that's what they want, right? It's not, we aren't celebrities. No one knows who the hell we are. So we have to control the controllable. I had a guy book a lead role in a movie recently. He didn't make it to his car when he left, and the producer called him, gave him the role, and said, who the hell shot this? This looks just like a fucking movie. Now, I don't say that to brag. There's not a whole lot, you know, I brag about, but our self-tapes are badass. But that's a testament to the guy saw him in the role, right? It wasn't done on a cell phone with a bed sheet behind him. I'm not saying that you can't book like that. You hear those stories of, oh yeah, I booked this and shot it in a bathroom when I was on vacation in Mexico because I didn't have any other options. Yeah, sure. But you know, they're outliers. Doesn't mean you want to do it every time, right? There's people that get cast washing dishes. It doesn't mean you're going to go wash dishes because you heard a story about someone doing that, right? You have to control what little piece they give you. And I see it all the time. I used to holding the sides. How many times have you heard hold the sides? Fuck that, man. Because the issue is, odds are someone's going to have that shit off book and beat you. Now, at the end of the day, it's about the performance, but the competition's too stiff, man, to be holding sides or, oh, I just got it last night. You know how many actors come in? And this is a whole thing I'm memorizing, but you can stop me at any point and jump in, because like this is me going on a tangent about the stuff that I see actors do wrong and the very few, the one percentile that actually work and make a living that do it right.
Yeah. Yeah. I am going to stop you because I do want to get into that stuff, but I do want to say that when it comes to sides and holding the sides, we talked earlier and I know that you are totally like not a proponent of holding sides. To me, that makes a lot of sense in self-tapes, because the reason that I've heard that people suggest that you hold your sides in auditions is because if you are not holding the sides, it like distracts the casting director and they're thinking, I hope he doesn't fuck up. I hope he has this memorized. Like it distracts them when you're not holding the sides. That's what I've heard. That's the argument I've heard for it, but that doesn't make any sense if you're doing self-tape. Yeah.
Right? If you're a fucking pro, or oh, it lets them know it's not a finished performance. You're a fucking actor. Oh wow. You mean that, so if you hold your sides, it lets them know that you can do more? Why would that be the case? Are you working or not? Can you take direction or not?
Right.
I think it's, why would they be, if I go in a room and I'm not holding my sides, why the fuck would they be shaking in their boots? If I fuck up, then I shouldn't be there. You're going to make mistakes. I've made mistakes, but that safety net, I'm going to be honest, man. If you're a fucking pro, you keep going. You might mess up. Big deal. And I've cast, I cast my feature film. I cast my short film that I did not too long ago. I've been on that side. And at the end of the day, look, TV's a writer's medium. You better honor every comma, period, exclamation point, ellipsis. You don't want to just wing their shit and start changing their words, right? There's a method to this. But at the same time, nothing sucks worse than watching someone look down at a script. It's not real. You'd be better off like fucking up and just keep going. I mean, we have to put things in perspective. If you get some 15 pages at midnight and you're going in at 10 in the morning, hold the sides. But I've never seen that happen. And people will say that, oh, I just got these last night. You know how many actors come in here and say, oh, I just got this last night, or I got it 2 days ago. And you know what I say? So is the person that's going to fucking book it. Why make excuses? I bet you a dollar to a dime you were on Instagram or Snapchat or out partying. And then that person will come in here 5 years later. Nothing's changed. They're not in SAG. They still don't have an agent. Actors, and look, I'm an actor myself. Most actors are lazy and they take the path of least resistance. And you can tell.
9 out of 10 actors, man. Same excuse every time. So you off book? For the most part. I just got these 2 days ago. Just got them last night. These are the excuses that actors have, man. And I'm an actor myself. There was a period when I was younger, I was lazy. I'm not going to lie. Especially in film, right? We think, oh, I got time to mess around in between takes or memorize my lines. But the competition's stiff when you get to a point where you want to make a living. So it sounds conflicting here because most actors that come in, I got celebrities that won't memorize their lines, man. It's self-sabotage. I figured out that's a lot of it. And I say actors, look, I'm an actor. I get that. So this isn't an indictment on actors, but there's a lot of self-sabotage there as far as if I don't give it my all, at least when I don't book it, I can say, yeah, I didn't fucking try that hard.
Right.
And that lets them off the hook. Because God forbid you fucking pay for a coach, pay for a self-tape, stay up all night memorizing your lines, and don't book the role. Then what? Then you're like, what the fuck am I going to do? I'm worthless. I didn't book it and I tried everything. But here's the thing. It's I do all that regardless. I swear to God, as an actor, and I do that because I'm in a position. I see thousands, literally, of actors in self-tapes yearly. I know what it takes to be a working actor. But I bust my ass, bro. And I'm sure you do too. And the actors I know that are working, they do, man.
So you have seen thousands and thousands of auditions, which we're going to talk about some of the stuff that you've learned from that, because that is like, I mean, that's a superpower. I volunteered for 2 casting directors when I was in Minneapolis, and I was only there for like an hour both times, and I got to sit in the room. I mean, I was like, I'll do anything you want as long as I can just sit in the room during some of the auditions. I learned so much from that. And you've seen thousands and thousands of people come in. So first question I have is, if you took the next 10 people that come in to audition, how many of those, when they walk out, are you going to go, wow?
Maybe one.
Maybe
one. One of my returning celebrities, maybe one.
And what are they doing? What are they doing what are they doing differently besides being off book and being prepared? What else are they doing?
They understand the beats. They understand what the show's about, what the product is. And when I say it's few and far between, I mean, and I fucking mean that, bro. With 10, because I think that all the time, I'm like, damn, if 10 actors come in, I can't, maybe once a month, I'll turn to Yasmin, my girlfriend that runs the studio with me. Maybe once a month, twice a month, I'll say, they're going to book something soon. And what that is there is an it, right? I don't know, no different than singing or anything else. Some people have it, right? You can get better at acting. But this one girl, she comes in, series regular role. She says, man, my power went out last night and I was up to 2 a.m. memorizing this shit by candlelight. I was like, I like that. We rehearse it and I'm like, damn, she's got some natural talent. Natural, and you can tell pretty quick, right? You could tell she was up. It was 3 scenes. It wasn't easy. A lot of dialogue. And she's kicking ass. I knew it. I told her that. I told my girl that. When she was there, I was like, she's fucking good. And I told the girl, too. I said, you're good. You do naturally good work. Sure as shit, she books it. Now, that doesn't always happen. Huge show. But she took it serious. She has a natural talent. And it just put her having it off book. And being memorized allowed her to explore. If you're trying to memorize lines, there's no way you could take direction while you're trying to memorize lines. You got to at least get that out of the way. At least get that. Some people say, oh, it takes away the spontaneity. I don't like to over rehearse. That is bullshit. That is bullshit. That's another cop-out excuse, right? That's another thing of, oh, I don't like to over prepare. So what do you do when you work for fucking David Fincher on Mindhunter? It'll do shit 100 times and you better fucking hit it perfect every fucking time. I had a friend that worked on Mindhunter and he's like, bro, we did that shit 100 times. And each time those two main actors were spotless. He said, every time they said that line, they picked up the pen in the exact same spot. They turned their head on the exact same spot. And we ran that shit 100 times. And he says, I was a fucking nervous wreck because it's Fincher. He didn't give any direction. You're just running it, running it, running it. Here's the thing. You honestly fucking think David Fincher is going to hire you if you don't have his, and try changing his shit and see what happens. Or Soderbergh or any of those dudes. So that thing of like, oh, I don't like to be too rehearsed and spontaneity. Dude, when you get on set and we've all been there, all of us, your adrenaline starts pumping, right? And you're like, and you don't even fucking know your name or your birthday, right? Someone, if you're lucky and everyone's cool, that eases the environment. But a lot of times they might just ignore you or whatever. And it's like, hey, he's just here for a day. Yeah, that's Lee. Okay, cool. You know, and then you're like, shit, now I'm even more nervous because the lead's ignoring me. All that can happen. So that's barring you get to set after you get the audition. This is my opinion, man, because I know people argue me on this. And I heard a guy on your podcast saying he doesn't look at him until he gets in the room. God bless him, bro. And if it works for him, cool. But I would never attempt that, and I would never tell anyone to attempt that.
Yeah, that I wouldn't either. That's Jake Leitz, and he's maybe the most relaxed person I've ever spoken to in my life. He's a special specimen.
Right.
I think he can just do that. That's just him.
But I would argue, what happens if he did overprepare, right? And sure, there's times that, and I say overprepare. I don't think there's such a thing. Sure, there's times it could work out and you're like, yeah, I just fucking winged it because, you know, they might be like, oh, look, that dude wasn't desperate. He didn't care, you know, on the day, I'm sure he'll show up and that works. But I couldn't rely on that. And I don't see from a professional standpoint, my thing is, look, at the lowest pay grade on TV, they're paying you $1,100 to show up and say a fucking line or 2 lines or 3 lines. That SAG scale is like $1,100. Why should I give you $1,100 to show up for the day? Why you? If you don't want it, if you're not serious about it, that's my take. Mm-hmm. But you got to be loose. You got to be relaxed, right? You don't want to go in there apologizing. That's a whole nother thing. And kissing ass and, oh, what do I got to do? I need this job. They smell that. So there is something being relaxed. But look, dude, we've all heard this story about Anthony Hopkins saying he reads a script 200, 250 times. Now, we don't all have the luxury of doing that like Anthony Hopkins, but there is something to being prepared and taking it serious and having a respect for the art and the people that are hiring you and seeing you.
I'm thinking a lot of people right now who are listening to this are thinking, I always prepare. I'm super prepared. I always am off book. I memorize my lines. I am ready when I go in there. They're not booking. Now, you must see a lot of those people come in. That must be like the majority of the people who come in. Barring the people who are not, they're just not ready. They're not memorized. They're not prepared. But the people who are prepared, most of them are not booking work. What is wrong with their auditions?
It's a business. We're a brand. We have a product. And we have to be honest with ourselves and say, if I look at Lee and I'm like, good looking, rugged, white dude, probably tall, but you have a look that is a certain type. I don't know if you're going to play a doctor yet, and you can do an audition for a doctor and knock it out of the fucking park better than maybe some dude that doesn't do as good but looks like a doctor. You don't look like a doctor or an accountant. Your agent might send you in for it, and you're like, man, I fucking crushed that. How did I get it? And then you watch it, and you see, well, obviously, they're going for a whole different look. There is that. I think knowing your type and fitting into that. I have a type. I'm a cop, soldier, blue collar. I know that. I like to think that I can do more, and I probably could, but they see me a certain way. I think seeing, ask people in the know, ask your agent, acting teachers. There's classes that specify in looking at your headshot. Does your headshot look like you in the first place? That's a whole nother thing. What type do I play? And how can I play that? How can I hone in on that? Right? We have to start somewhere. If you don't have any credits and you're just getting into this, figure out your type. Don't worry about auditioning for Spider-Man. You're probably not gonna, right? Get some co-stars under your belt, but know your type. If you're the rookie cop, if you're the suspect, if you're the thug, if you're the girl next door, know your type. Right now, I'm pretty much probably only going to book cop shit. Period. I could bitch all I want. At first, I was like, shit, man. Cop role, racist cop. It's good because it tells a story that needs to be told. But I'm like, damn, I don't want to keep being a fucking racist cop, man. This is, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4. I'm like, shit. But got me health insurance. I work. But that's what's hot. I can bitch all I want. I can say, look, I can be a doctor. I can be a lawyer. We don't want you to be a doctor or lawyer. They tell you, go where you're wanted. I think that's the best fucking advice I could give. Go where you're wanted. Mm-hmm. There was a time I had a good friend of mine, Sammy Sheik, great fucking actor. He was in Lone Survivor. He was an American Sniper. What was he? The terrorist. He's Middle Eastern. And he's like, man, I'm sick of being and I doubt he'd care about me saying this. He's like, I'm sick of being a fucking terrorist, man. He even had a shirt. It said, I'm not a terrorist, but I play one on TV. Go where you're wanted.
Yeah, you got to embrace that. And you hear a lot of people talking on sets and stuff or at auditions, usually at auditions because they're usually not working. They say, you know, I don't want to play. I always get called in for the whatever. Enter type here. And they're like pissed off about it. And no one that I know that's working thinks that way. I mean, there's a couple things. Number one, take what you can get the credits, and then you will get more opportunities to play different things. That's what happened to me for sure. I was boyfriend. That was it. And I was able to do enough of those to where I started to be able to audition for like lawyers and authority figures and doctors and stuff that was more interesting than playing the boyfriend over and over again. So if you are one of those people that, and you know who you are, if you have said that to someone, if you had said, I don't want to play this or whatever, I don't want to play, I look like this, and that's what they auditioned me for. And they're offended by it. They're offended by it. But I want to be like, you got into this business. You entered. No one asked you to come to this business. This is the way this business works. If you want to, quit and go and do community theater. And you can pick only the roles that you want to play. And you can go do that. But if you want to play in the big leagues, you got to play by the rules of the big leagues. And that's the rule. You are going to get cast for what you look like. And it may be stereotypical and it may be offensive, but if you want to work, that's how it goes.
You're right, man. You're right. And I was that dude that, and I can't believe I look back now and I'm like, why the fuck did I even complain? Because it's work.
You know, 99% of people who set out to be actors will have very little success.
Yep.
In terms of money, if that's what they're if that's what they're pursuing, or fame, whatever they're pursuing, yep. They're probably going to have very little success. It's just the way it works. It's such an oversaturated business. And, yeah, I just think that's such an important,
You're so right, man. And I'm glad you brought that up, because we are conflicted, right? You can ask actors, why'd you get into this? Most of them are going to fucking lie. But if you watch Dustin Hoffman on his masterclass, he hits the nail on the head, like it or not. He says, when you ask someone why they want to be an actor, 9 times out of 10, the truth is, look at me, look at me, look at me. Now, I don't know if it's childhood trauma, whatever the fuck it is. We all like attention. Fine. That's usually what gets people in it, right? And we think that fame will bring us something. And you're so right as far as looking ahead, right? We feel good for a little bit, and then it's gone. And now we want the next thing. I can't tell you how many people that come in here that have their own show currently number one on the call sheet and still get fucking bummed out when they don't book something or aren't happy. It's never enough. It's never enough. Don't try to be the next Zac Efron or, you know, uh-huh. It might not be. Let him do him.
It's a mistake to think that people that are more successful than you are happier than you.
I swear to God, man, I see it. You're not. I see it constantly. And you'd be surprised who has to audition, dude. If you're not DiCaprio or Wahlberg or fucking Jennifer Lawrence, they're probably auditioning. You probably just don't know about it.
Right.
And going through their own struggles, man. And having the self-tape studio and working with actors has changed my perspective of the industry, of the craft. It's given me a new respect, right? And also let me know just how blessed that I am. And what you said earlier, you have to be happy where you are. You have to be happy as an actor, no matter where you are on the food chain. You have to.
So before we continue, I want to give you a chance to say, what is your like social media handle and what's your website? Where can people find you?
On social media for our self-tapes, it's @hotshots_self-taping. We also have a Facebook page, Hotshots Self-Taping. My personal Instagram is @thejohnstan, J-O-N. And our website is hotshotsselftaping.com.
Sweet. And I said that I would thank everybody who shared the last episode on Instagram. So I would like to thank officially Tyler Jones, Sarah Starr, James Reese, Jeff Brody, Jorge Vasquez, Amber Blake, Sean Fitzwater, Kate Daly, Jenna West, Randy Bernalis, Jovo, Danielle, Brittany Arwin, and Todd Matthews. I hope I didn't forget anybody. Thank you for doing that. That really helps me spread the word of this podcast. If you just take like a screenshot of any episode, share it, tag the people who are in it, tag the person I'm interviewing, tag me. Thank you very much. I want to dial this back to going back in the room, and I want to ask you a few questions about some of the stuff that you see. We talked originally quite a while ago now, a couple of months maybe. We had a conversation about I'll just ask you the question.
Yeah.
You see people come in again and again who book like pretty consistently. Am I right about that? Right. Like select few people are booking. What is it that those people have in common when they come into the room in terms of their acting? What does their acting look like? What is their demeanor? Like, what do they have in common? Do they have anything in common?
There is a main common theme that runs through 99%. They're not apologizing for being there, man. They're not genuflecting when they come in the room, ass kissy. Look, I don't have any power, right? Most actors are nervous because it's their first time. You know, there's a camera. They don't know me. They don't know if I'm going to be a dick or how I am. I'm not. I always give them water and we sit and shoot the shit beforehand. And I like to get to know them to take the edge off. I don't have to do that with 95% of working actors. They come in, they take up space, not in an asshole way, right? And I think I told you this, and this is a trick I'm going to give away, courtesy of all listening. This took my booking, 10x, literally. I don't even know a lot of times. I don't watch much TV. I don't know when some of these people come in who they are, right? My girl will tell me later, oh my God, that's so-and-so from Twilight. Damn, I didn't know that. I never watched Twilight. They'll come in and they just, they take up space, man. They're not apologizing for being there. They'll set their shit down without asking me, hey, can I set my wallet here? They'll go over to the space. And it isn't in an asshole way. It's like, hey, what's up, Lee? How you doing, man? Da 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 da. You know, like they've been here before. So what I do, what I started doing when I go in the audition room, and it starts the minute I fucking step foot in the casting. This is me. I'm not saying everyone has to do this. I'm not saying you're going to fucking book if you do it every time. This personally works for me. First of all, I don't take my sides with me when I go in the fucking room and I'm sitting there, because it's a mind game. Let's be fucking real here. This is where it starts, man. Usually most people psych themselves out in the audition room. They're sitting there staring at them sides. Why are you staring at your fucking sides walking around? Party's over, bro. You're either fucking ready or you're not. Why are you staring at them now? And my thing automatically is, bro, you fucked up by even showing up. That's my attitude going in, is all you motherfuckers can go home. And if one of you get it over me, then I must not have looked right. That's my take. And I have to have that going in because I did everything leading up to that to have them fucking lines every way to Sunday. I did the homework. I'm ready. So when I'm sitting there, I don't talk to anyone. I don't want to fucking talk to you. I might say hi if I kind of know you, but people start trying, guys, girls, it doesn't matter. They try throwing you off. So when I sit there, I'm just, no lie, dude, I'm fucking cool as a cucumber. I'm not sitting there hunched over and shit, fucking bouncing my leg. What good is that going to do me? I sit there fucking chill. When it's my time to go in, I'm going to go in and crush it. I'll put headphones in usually and see whose name is before me, how many people, that way I can stay to myself, not make eye contact with anyone and talk to them. When I go into the room, no lie, I always have something on me. My keys and cell phone usually is a rule. And I set that shit down on the closest chair, whatever's there, or I'll throw it on the fucking floor. That does two things. It buys me time. I want to know where my eye line's going to be, how many people are in the room, what the lighting's like. And as I'm setting my shit down, it's twofold. I can say my line in my head or out loud. And it also lets them know that I'm not going to fucking ask you if I could set my stuff down. Uh-huh. It ain't a dick move. I'll say, I got too much stuff in my pockets. And I'll throw down my cell phone and keys. And all that does is give me a second to compose myself. Because you're going to be nervous 9 times out of 10, no matter how prepared you are. You know, you're going to be nervous. It's like being on a date. Doesn't matter. There's a little bit of butterflies in your stomach. But that buys you time. And it also lets them know, oh, this dude doesn't give a fuck. And I'll stand on the mark. I don't ask. There's usually tape there. I'll stand there. What's my frame? Are we tight? Right? Now you're taking control. And that subconsciously does something. Again, it isn't that you're too cool for school or you're doing it in a way that you're just not fucking apologizing for being there. They brought you in. You're doing them a favor. And you don't know how bad, because I've seen a lot of, like I told you, man, I can have 30 actors come in. Two might be good. Going in that room and not apologizing for being there, but not being a dick. You want to let them know that if they hire you, you're going to be cool to everyone on set. You're not going to be a fucking prick, which is a whole nother thing. You want to be cool. Hey, how you doing? Cool. And you can ask that. Hey, how's it going? Boom. You set your shit down. You're loose. And then you do it. And if you fuck up, let's do that one more time. Why ask? Yeah. It's taking control. And here's the thing, man. Here's the thing. We might be like, fuck, I can't do that. It works. It fucking works. And even if you have to fake it, then fake that shit. Don't go in there ass kissy thinking you're going to kiss enough ass to get the job. You're better off just being almost, I hate to say it, bro, contemptuous.
Yeah.
I'm not saying be a dick, but if they had the choice of being like, man, that dude seemed a little bit fucking, seemed a little bit short. I'd rather that than, oh, he seems like a really nice ass kisser.
Yeah, for sure. Err on the side of dickness. I totally agree with you, man. When I was volunteering for those casting directors, I can't overstate how obvious and how visible desperation is. And I don't mean desperation like you're dripping with desperation. I mean like you look like you really want the job.
Yeah.
If you show that, it's so off-putting. And we all know this. We've all heard this, but I've seen it. I've seen it from the couch. I mean, I know what that looks like. It's very, very obvious. And it's just human instinct to be like, he really wants this, so I don't want to give it to him. And then the guy comes in. And the thing is most people are coming in like that. I'm not a casting director. I can't say that for sure, but I'm pretty damn sure. I look around the waiting room and I see people hunched over and they're shaking. And A, I think these people are already done. They're already done.
Yes.
But also, when people are coming in one after the next, and they're kissing ass, and then you come in, you can be a breath of fresh air for them if you're just cool. And a lot of people are probably thinking, yeah, but I really do want that thing. I need that. I want that so badly. But you have to fake it then. You have to fake it. It's not that hard. You're an actor. Act. Like, you got to act like you don't really care. You got to act like you're kind of too cool for school. And it's not that hard. Instead of going in and going, hey, how you doing? Yeah, thanks so much for having me. Just go in and go, what's going on? It's not that hard to do. I mean.
Right. And I'm here to work. And, I got to fucking take off after this. My body language is never, I'd love to stay and hang and talk to you guys. It ain't none of that. I got somewhere else to be, right?
Yeah.
Period. You have to look. It's like fucking, I box. I like boxing, so I use a lot of boxing analogies. You don't think that them fucking dudes are shaking in their boots? It don't matter how bad they are. They know that they can get caught and they can get fucked up, but they're not showing it, right? And that's the thing of, you go in there, if you attach that to it, like you said, oh, I need this job. I got to have this job. They're going to think, man, what's he going to be like on set? That there's no ease there. I went in for this role with this big casting director out here. First thing in the morning, recurring role. And I booked it. It was just for Good Trouble, a spinoff of The Fosters. I don't say this to brag. I say this as a fucking example so people know. First one in the morning, the casting director goes, Jonathan, you're our first one. No pressure. Don't let us down. I said, oh, ain't no thing, man. No one else can do what I do. And he goes, oh, I like that. I booked that shit within the day, right? But that let, now he could have been like, man, this motherfucker, that's pretty ballsy, right? Now, I didn't have my sides. It was a good amount of dialogue. And if I would have fucked up, he would have been like, ah, see? Smart ass. But I didn't, because I knew I did my homework and I had to have that confidence. Why? Because there's a fucking bunch of other white actors out here that are fucking awesome.
Uh-huh.
Right? Period. That are prettier than me, might even be more talented. So all I can do is fucking own me. That's it. Own me.
If you do need to fake that, like, and most people do need to fake that because most people are going to get nervous and they're going to, everybody wants the job. Otherwise you wouldn't be there. There are a few things that you can do that will help your cause to look relaxed. Putting your shit down. That's something that you have planned ahead of time that you know will accomplish this goal, because people who are really nervous are not going to do that.
No,
they're not going to do that. They're
not going to rock the boat. Don't rock the boat.
They don't want to rock the boat. Exactly. Another thing that nervous people are not going to do is they're not going to ask questions. Okay. I ask questions. For a long time I didn't. And there are some questions that you don't want to ask. Like, you need to make your choices as an actor ahead of time. Don't be asking questions like that. But if I have a question, like if I don't quite understand a line and it could be taken two ways, I'll ask. Because confident people ask questions when they don't know. And people who are nervous are not going to ask questions. So that automatically is another thing you can do. If you have a question that you want to ask that will make your audition better, ask the question.
Yeah, name, like if a name's pronounced a certain way, is this such and such or such and such?
Exactly, exactly. Or, you know, I was thinking like this line. I wasn't quite sure if this is supposed to mean this or is this supposed to mean this. Do you guys know? And I mean, they appreciate that. Right. Casting directors appreciate that. They want you to do a good audition. They yes. want you to do what you need to do a good audition. And if that means asking questions, then great. If that means taking your shit out of your pockets, then that's great. So there's like a couple other things that you can do. You know, err on the side of talking less. You know, don't say sorry. Don't say bye too many times.
Yep.
Like when in doubt, say less.
Yep.
There's a number of things that you can prepare ahead of time to kind of fake this until you don't have to.
Yeah, man, I agree with you. And that's something they don't teach you in an acting class, right? You sit in an acting class and you watch someone do something on stage, right? Eye lines is another thing. You can go in an acting class and see something on stage and you're like, dude, that looks fucking great. Well, guess what? It doesn't look great in a close-up. So now we got an issue. In an audition, I'll have people that say, oh, I coached with my teacher, and then they come here and I'm like, the fuck? What happened here, right? Eye lines. Don't have your eye lines too high or too low. If there's two people in the scene, unless they fucking tell you in advance, play everything to me, which I still don't like to do, you pick two eye lines. If there's five people, two eye lines is plenty. Create that shit. They want to see, when they're watching that, they want to be like, hey, go grab Lee and have him hit his mark, say his lines, and get the fuck out of here. And unless, like I said, it's a fucking series, right? But even with recurring, they want to see a performance. They want to see what you're going to do on the day.
Right.
I worked with Tyler Perry on something. I booked off a self-tape and his producer brings us in and he's like, the reason I hired you guys is because we don't rehearse. And he doesn't rehearse. He shoots 120 pages a day. He goes, what you guys did in your self-tape, do out there. Fucking Tyler Perry doesn't want to stand there and direct me. He wants to pull up in his fucking golf cart, shoot the shit and leave.
Mm-hmm.
You got to be that good. All that shit of like, oh, holding your sides. We go back to that in leeway. It's bullshit, man. Bring us polished fucking performance that they can look at because they're going to make their mind up in 5 or 10 seconds. And it starts when you go in the room.
If you like this podcast, please go to your podcast app, scroll down, and give me a rating or a review. Thank you for listening.